Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So many issues. Why all the divisions? Why all the fighting? No other world religion seems to have this problem. Just look at them. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, all the other world religions are not as divided as Christianity is. And of course, we should look at that and say, doesn't that prove something, dear listener? That the true gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is always under assault. It is always under attack. And the very evidence of that is the division, as the Apostle Paul said, that there must be divisions to prove and show what is true among us. That is the issue here in Acts chapter 15, as the doctrine of justification, how a sinner is right with God, is under heavy assault in the early church. And today we see how the apostles handled that at the Jerusalem Council to maintain the beautiful truth of the gospel that a sinner can be declared righteous by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus alone, who gives us everything we need for salvation. What we always want to do is add a plus to that. We want to change that great truth by adding our works, our traditions, our ceremonies. And today we're going to look at this from Acts chapter 15 to see how the apostles solved this great problem. 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805 is the phone number. Find us on Facebook, and the web address is agradio.org. You can support us there right online to continue to bring these radio broadcasts to the continent of Africa, the U.S., and Canada, and many places. We're so thankful for this opportunity. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday from Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Really trying to understand them. And as I was working through this, I realized, you know, we're all Pharisees. It's built into us. How many years had circumcision been practiced? And that's a lot of years of tradition of your kids, you know, your parents, your grandparents, all the way back, right? All the way to Abraham. You can't just throw it away. You can't do that. No, it was a sign of the covenant. It was the sign of the covenant that God made with Israel and with Abraham. And listen, if you didn't have that sign, didn't the Lord say, you're cut off from among the people? Would that be easy for you? I know us all. I know me. I like holding on to the things that I do. We're creatures of habit. We have this fear. When it comes to any change, we have seen what liberalism can do to the church. So we have this great fear. It's uncomfortable. It makes us feel compromised. Why? Well, the great fear is, and I'm sure there's numerous reasons for this, but it will lead to the greatest of all compromise in the church if we change. It will go liberal. Why? We've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. You don't mess with what you've always done. The customs have to be kept. They've got to be. Or we're going to lose everything. All of our identity is going to be taken. It's going to go. And because of this, this attitude of suspicion is in the home crowd of anyone outside of that crowd that doesn't hold on to the customs. Suspicion. Well, we'll let them in, but they're not really of us. They really are not the originals. You know who struggled with this the most? Peter. You know, it's fascinating, in Galatians 2, which you know the story, when Cephas came to Antioch, where are we right now? Antioch. We have collision of Galatians 2 right here. So before they went over to Jerusalem, they had it out, Paul and Peter, over this at Antioch. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, Galatians 2, because he stood to be condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy of it all. So even Peter felt the pressure, and he gave into it. And what was the pressure? The circumcision party or the Orthodox party, they've got it all nailed down. I'm not messing with that. Well, this is, I think, where we have to recognize what really is going on. I remember Reverend Kaminga said to me years ago, the Pharisees were the conservatives. I didn't like that when he first said it, right? Kind of bothered me. And then I stood back and said, you know, he's right. I want to pitch them as the liberals, right? And it all works together, trust me. Conservatism is the path to liberalism. But I gave a lot of thought to that. Their tradition eclipsed the truth of the gospel. Now, not all tradition's bad. I need to get that out. Paul at one point said, keep the apostolic traditions. I don't want anyone hearing me that tradition is bad. There are certain things we hold fast to that are biblical and they're right. But tradition serves a greater purpose. Don't miss the point. Circumcision was commanded in the Old Covenant. They were right. What Acts is exposing, the problem with all this exposed was their trust was not in what the customs and the signs pointed to. What the signs were declaring. Sacraments are declarative signs. They were in the practices and in the customs themselves. You see that point? That's where the trust was. And because of that, they were never able to look beyond what they pointed to, what the substance was. So because this was such a problem, they were able to build around circumcision a whole fence of other customs and other laws to keep people into conformity. And what all of this was exposing was their system secretly for years had been running on a trust in the sentimentality of the customs, of the traditions, of the laws, and not Jesus. A confidence in these things is the soil in which another gospel grows. You see that? For no one now can quite make it into Christianity unless they keep and do exactly what we have determined makes for being Christian. I think you see how important that is. For years, as a Reformation churches, we've critiqued Rome. And we have critiqued Rome, and we have gone after them for exalting tradition over the Word of God. Amen. But I'm not so sure we're good at accepting that charge for ourselves. You ever struggle with this? This is how we've always done things. I know you do that because you all sit in the same seats every week. You see? Yeah. You think we ever fall into the trap of putting trust in the customs, the forms, the practices themselves, missing the substance of what we do? All these things are calling us to faith. Acts 15, all of this has to do, listen, this is the heart today, all of this has to do with a relationship of how somebody is right with God, justification by faith alone in relation to ceremonies, traditions, and good works. All of this, that's what the heart of this is. And we run the same danger of investing in the signs and the seals themselves, even of baptism. This has happened in our circles. This has happened with movements. Of baptism itself, the same significance as the Pharisees were doing here with circumcision. We can do that with the Lord's Supper. Thinking it's an automatic through it. Faith. This, you know, guys, this got so bad in Corinth, the traditions and the customs, that Paul said, I had to stop baptizing. Why, Paul? I don't even baptize anymore. Because everyone was running around saying, I was baptized by Paul. Your baptism's a little less. I stopped. It became so sentimental. We can do it with anything. I think you know that. We can do it with the building, do it with an organ, do it with a songbook. We can do it with anything. Remember, somebody once told me that she wouldn't leave a corrupt denomination because the building was where all of her kids were baptized in. You see, this is who we are. This is what we struggle with. Running in this is justification by custom. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. The question is, how did the apostles handle it? And I would have had to sit there and take in this because I struggle with all of it. You'll notice in verse 2, there was no small dissension and debate. You want to see a fight, it happened. We know from Paul's old words in Galatians how he felt about this moment. Here's what he said. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment. We didn't yield for a moment on this stuff so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So be thankful you had some fighters in the first century. You might not have had your gospel. These guys saw as the greatest threat behind it was the thought that if the exact ceremonies of the law of Moses were not kept, people could not be saved. They saw it in it. They knew it was in it. And it came to the point of them saying it. You see? Jesus was one day questioned about this, and he said, you guys look to Moses, but you forget that everything that Moses wrote and talked about was talking about me. What is shown to you here, which I love about this chapter, is how zealous the apostles were to confront the thinking. Yeah, it hurts, it stings, but it's so important. Look at it here. What they did to stop it. And it gives us great appreciation for how the early church functioned. We read that it was so concerning that Antioch said to Paul and Barnabas, you need to go to Jerusalem and deal with this. What we find is that these men who had come to Antioch had come to Antioch and were saying that unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved, that they were not really sent by Jerusalem, but that Jerusalem was really struggling with this issue. And actually, verse 24 says, you'll notice in Jerusalem, we didn't send those guys. They're just troubling. The problem was Jerusalem was being heavily besieged by a Pharisee sect that were actually believers in Jesus, but were still members of the Pharisees. So you notice in verse 5 that after Paul had reported all that God had done in bringing in the Gentiles, he goes to Jerusalem. Here's Paul. They all knew this guy was the great persecutor at one point. So there's already suspicion in this. They responded after they heard Paul say, all that God's doing on the mission field. No, Paul, they need to keep the law of Moses. What we have here is the first major theological controversy in the church. Now, like I said, in our day, we would roll our eyes at this, and we've had enough of this. But what was at stake here was the gospel. So they called the council in Jerusalem. And you'll notice that they were delegated here. They were delegated, the apostles and the elders, to consider the matter. Delegated. Verse 7 says, there was a heated debate. To them, we did not yield submission for a moment. so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved, said Paul. You realize how important this was for the truth of the gospel. They fought, they stood up for it, they put their lives on the line for it. And this is in the church. Two voices won the day that day. Two right voices. First was Peter. As the debate is hot and heavy, Peter waves and stands up. I'd have loved to have been there just to see this. Gives the most compelling response. Now keep in mind, this is after Paul had gotten in his face over the hypocrisy. Peter, the most Jewish voice, James, rises up and what does he say? Brothers, you know God made a choice to open this door to the Gentiles. Who did? You know the psalm we just sang, God does whatever he pleases. God made a choice. And guess who he chose to open that door? Me, says Peter. The door was open when Cornelius came in. Remember that? They heard the good news. They believed the gospel. Cornelius comes in, and remember, we went through this, and you guys accepted that. Verse 8, and God knows the heart. I love this. This is so powerful. God knows the heart. So you're all worried that they're not in outward conformity. You need to know God knows hearts. You see? God knows hearts. He bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Whoa. Now the question is, did he give that good news and the Holy Spirit contingent on anything in them or anything they needed to do first? Any of them, did he give them the Holy Spirit contingent on being circumcised? Answer, no. So he made no distinction between them and us, did he? He made absolutely no distinction between them and us. Remember the parable of the entering the vineyard? You entered by grace. Some of you have entered in early. He's baptized. The sign's been on you. And some come late. He makes no distinction. He cleansed their hearts by what? Faith. God is not after you accomplishing that by keeping forms. God is after your heart. Circumcision, we all would have known that about circumcision, right? We should have known that, Peter says about circumcision. We should have known what circumcision was talking about. It's not in the act or the form itself. That does not have the power to cleanse. It is not by the mode, it's by faith. See what he's preaching here? He's preaching a Reformation sermon. He cleanses your hearts by faith, believing. Circumcision has always been a matter of the heart, not of the letter. True circumcision, Romans 2, is a matter of the heart. Cleansing of the heart, not by the letter, not by the law. So we believe, verse 11, this is the heart of Peter's point. We believe they will be saved who have no laws, no traditions, no customs, the same way as we're saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Same way. No difference. Again, all of their trust in the tradition proved they were missing what the tradition was saying. And because of this, they could never even accept a change of signs to baptism. They had taken it and used it to justify themselves. This is Romans 10. It's all over the Bible. And when Peter says this, you see what happened? The whole thing fell silent. They sat there. And I wonder what the responses were. I'm sure some people were mad at Peter. You compromiser. Others were forced to reckon with what they were a part of. And is it what God is a part of? Or is it your little tradition? As he finished speaking, then comes the speech that shocked the assembly. James stands up. James, the younger brother of Jesus. Can't imagine the effect of this. Brothers, listen to me. Simon's right. When he said, God has taken them as a people for his name, do you know that's what the prophets were talking about? This is really powerful. If you're looking for a rebuilt Jerusalem temple and all that, James just shuts it down right here. He quotes Amos 9. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David right here that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it. The remnant of man, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. He just said, it's being rebuilt now, and their evidence. The Israel has come. It was always this way. Truth be told, in our zeal to often protect who we are, what this exposes is that much of what we do in Christianity is all about what's comfortable and familiar to us. That's why people are willing to stick with things that are false. But it's not always about the truth that is behind it. So much so that we can't often see beyond what is familiar or sentimental to what's really being said to us. And then we miss the heart of all this. We need to be justified by faith just as they are. Us. Just as the Johnny-come-latelys. And we have no corner on the status with God because we've always done things a certain way. This is why Peter says something really powerful. He says, stop putting a yoke on these people that God never has. God never gave the law. God never gave circumcision to do with it what you're doing with it. You've missed the whole meaning. Circumcision declared the need for a new heart. This is so important today. The relationship between justification and ceremony and tradition is just as much of a struggle. This is the only message that saves, though. Wait a minute. But all these new people have to go to our schools and look just like us and absorb into us. And is that acceptance by you? God's already accepted them. We shouldn't burden them more than God does. It's not Jesus plus. It's his whole life. It's his death. It's his resurrection that you receive by faith alone and you have everything. And that's the greatest message and the most freeing message that could ever be proclaimed. Well, pastor, if you preach that, I'm telling you what will happen. The church is going to become loose. Church is going to become lawless. It's going to disregard everything that God's established. God knows the heart. And James offers a solution that we're going to study next time. In verse 19, James says, therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. From ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he's read in the Sabbath in the synagogues. Here should be our message to the Gentiles. Now, this is going to be really helpful next time because it's going to warn those of the Gentiles to say, stop beating them up. Which has happened a lot in our circles, where I think sometimes we as a church get beat up unfairly by people coming in for who we are. And the warning is stop it to them. Be sensitive to them. Understand them. We shouldn't provoke them. Right? So here's what I suggest, that they abstain from idolatry and sexual morality, and what's been strangled and from blood. And the meaning of that is the Gentiles had a lot more freedom out in the world, and they were into contact with things that really troubled the Jews. And Paul is saying, James is saying here, you don't have to do that. Things that easily connect you with idolatry and sexual morality, stay away from. These pagan feasts and all that. We'll come back to this next week. What a passage from the church to learn from today. What a passage. God has put you together to love one another and don't provoke each other. Serve one another. Be sensitive to each other. And remember, it's by faith that we stand together in the favor of God. I praise God today that his acceptance of you is based on his work, aren't you? And we should remember that always for ourselves and for those whom the Lord brings through these doors.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.